Always a tough act to follow a video, right? I was watching a different series on the resurrection and on the life of Jesus that is playing on the History Channel. So they brought out a few different elements of all of the events that we are experiencing in that video. And it was very informative in its own way, showing the life of Christ through the eyes of different important people in his life. And so it was good. It was good to watch that, and you get a slightly different view. Well, I'm going to expand on the message from the president a little bit, add a little bit more to what he had to say. The title of the message, Resurrected for All. And I always remember as a kid growing up, going to Catholic school, going to Catholic church and everything else, that there were, you should go to church every week. That was the primary message. You should go. But if for whatever reason you don't or you can't, you better be there at Christmas and Easter. Those were the two times of the year where you needed to make sure that you made good and showed up. And it was a little bit disheartening on one hand to see a report in the news this week about how so many people are moving away from organized religion. Which always makes me wonder, so are they going to disorganized religion if they're going away from organized religion? Because what other kind is there, really? And yet at the same time, there is a real thirst for the Word, a real thirst. People are looking for answers. So Jesus was resurrected for all. Let's read in Luke 24, 1-8. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, this is the video that we saw, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." And then they remembered those words. So welcome to Easter 2019. I want to try, as I say, to put some meat on the bones of what Dr. Williams said. And in Jerusalem, we see some images here. One of the most popular places to visit is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. That word sepulchre just means small room, a place where a dead person is laid or buried. That is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. It is a place that's been identified as the location of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is a place of pilgrimage for many people. Many Christians make an annual pilgrimage to this church. And if you watch the news tonight, this weekend probably, you will very likely see footage of people, hundreds and maybe thousands of people, in Jerusalem to visit that church. Despite all the changes that have happened, because it obviously didn't look like that when Jesus was alive, despite all the changes to that place, it is still a powerful gathering place for Christians of all denominations. And many of these Christians, these pilgrims who come to Jerusalem, will walk down the Via Dolorosa, which is Latin for Way of Sorrows. There's a map, just one of many maps. We don't know the exact route that Jesus would have taken. There's some variations, but it's relatively clear the path that he would have gone in Jerusalem. These are sometimes known as the stations of the cross, the streets that Jesus likely walked down towards his resurrection. And then the pilgrims who are there will do that same walk, many of them carrying crosses, many of them doing something to draw them closer to what Christ did for them. It is a moving place to visit without any questions, you know. And as I say, as a youngster growing up, attending the church, you always had to do the stations of the cross as part of your penance, right? You go to confession and you do the stations of the cross. And regardless of what we think about that ritual, there's no question in my mind that as I did the stations of the cross and I looked at all of the symbols and I said my prayers, it drew me closer to the event that Christ had gone through. And it regularly reminded me of what Christ endured on my behalf. So there's one of the paths. You know, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre was built over Golgotha, the place where Christ was crucified. It was outside the city walls at the time. Now it sits inside the walls of Jerusalem, a city that is considered holy by Jews, Muslims, and every denomination of Christian. The Western Wall, you can see it at the pretty much in the center of that picture, the Western Wall. Sometimes it's called the Wailing Wall. That is the last remnant of the Second Temple that was built by Solomon, the most holy site in Judaism. And the Jews from all over the world will make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to pray at that wall. And not only Jews, but all sorts of visiting dignitaries make a point of going there. I'm sure you've seen pictures of presidents. There's President Trump at the Wailing Wall. The next picture shows former Prime Minister Stephen Harper at the Wailing Wall doing prayers. I looked and looked. There is no picture of Justin Trudeau at the Wailing Wall. I'm not sure what that says. Maybe he didn't want any pictures taken. Also in Jerusalem is the Dome of the Rock, the next picture that we have. That is a very sacred site for Muslims. Along with the Dome, the oldest Islamic shrine, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, is there. That is the third most important mosque for Islams. Muslims, of course, trace their heritage back to Ishmael, the son of Abraham. And although the Muslim faith of Islam was founded 600 years after Christ by Muhammad. That mosque that you see in blue with the gold dome sits on the very spot where the Temple of Solomon once stood. A few years back, my wife and I had the opportunity when we were in Orlando to go to the Holy Land Experience, which is a small theme park that is devoted to Christian history. And in one of the buildings, they have a miniature representation of what the city of Jerusalem would have looked like at the time of Christ. And that is a representation, a model of the Temple of Solomon. While we were there visiting, they also have life-size replicas of what a typical stone tomb was like, the kind that Jesus would have been laid to rest in. And you can go inside and you just get a sense of, okay, this is sort of what it would have been like. Full size, made out of rock. So it was quite a moving experience to do that. So I tell you all that little history about Jerusalem because Jerusalem is a very important city for the three main faiths. But only one, and that is Christianity, sees Jesus and his part that he played in Jerusalem as the Messiah and the Savior. Only Christianity acknowledges Jesus as a Messiah and Savior. In Islam, he is a prophet. In Judaism, he is a Jewish preacher, but for Christians, he is our Savior, our Redeemer. So is it any wonder then that towards the end of his life, as Christ is coming down from the Mount of Olives and is praying, and he's also crying because he knew that so many people would reject him, not accept him as their Savior. And to this very day, most still do not. But there is good news wrapped up in all of this. There is very good news. Reject him or not. Choice is yours. Reject him or not. He is still Lord of all. And he was, as we heard in the video, resurrected for all. And that is why we celebrate Easter. One of the many reasons. Because he was resurrected for all of us. But not just all of us. Not just you, me, and those of us who are here. He was resurrected for everyone. And, I have to admit that over the years, as I've thought about that, and I've watched videos, I've read stories, I've read scripture, thought about what that, I know he was resurrected for all, but have I really thought about what that means? What that really means? That he was resurrected for all? Because he was resurrected for every believer, non-believer. He was resurrected for every slave, every free person. He was resurrected for every Jew and Gentile. He was resurrected for every man, woman, child, everyone. So Easter reminds us of this. And it's a good reminder to have on a regular basis that he was resurrected for all. Easter reminds us that the Son of God, our Redeemer and Savior, went to the cross for all and was resurrected for all. Think about that for a minute. What that really means. This can be a challenge for a lot of people. When we say that he was resurrected for all, it can be a challenge because what it means is that he was resurrected for that fella in New Zealand who killed 50 people in the mosque. Jesus was resurrected for him. Go even to the extreme. Jesus was resurrected for Hitler, who killed 8 million. Stalin, who killed 20 million. Jesus was resurrected for all of them. These words are hard to believe sometimes, hard to accept, because it doesn't seem fair. Because in human terms, we like to think of things as being fair, right? But if God was fair, would any of us be here, right? You may find it hard to believe that Jesus was resurrected for all those people and many, many others. He went to the cross for all. There are no exceptions listed. You can go through the Bible and it doesn't say he was resurrected for everyone except for all but. No. He was resurrected for all of us. All of them. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ shows the profoundness of God's love. How deep and impactful that love is for all of us. Some call it reckless love. We sing a song called Reckless Love. Some call it preposterous. Some call it radical. Paul said that many would see it as foolishness because it's very human to put things in categories, in strata. And this is more important than that is. This sin is not as bad as that sin. But that question remains, why would God die for people who don't even acknowledge his presence? You know why he did it? For the same reason that he died for you and me. Because he loves us. God loves all of us. Loves his whole creation. So, Jesus came for all of us. Died for all, resurrected for all. Just finished reading a book, rereading it actually, before I do something with it. It's called The Truth Behind the New Atheists. And in the book, the author, David Marshall, a theologist, explains the thinking of many who are atheists and don't believe in God, and how they, as Paul said, see so much of what we believe as foolishness. Paul was right. A lot of people do think it's foolish. But God still loves them too. Right? And He died for them too. The Apostle Paul is talking about the resurrection of Jesus when he says in 1 Corinthians 15, 21 and 22, he says, "For since death came through a man," meaning Adam, "the resurrection of the dead comes through a man," meaning Jesus. "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." All will be made alive. Jesus, again, died for all. Catching a theme here? He died for all and He was resurrected for all. Christians, Muslims, Jews, atheists, sinners, saints, He was resurrected for all. And this is why we celebrate Easter. God doesn't show favoritism, and we can be so grateful for that. I'm glad He doesn't show favorites. Let's not forget what Peter says in the book of Acts, and this was quoted in the video, Acts 10, 34, 36. "Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears Him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." So as I said before, this kind of teaching makes some people feel uncomfortable. But sometimes it's good for us to be uncomfortable, because it's out of that uncomfortable state that change happens. Right? Jesus Christ is Lord of all. I want you to think about that. The sad truth is that His message is not well received these days. Certainly not as well received as we would hope. In the Holy Land, we see constant conflict. Everybody claiming to have a cornerstone of the faith. Our group is better at following the faith than your group is. Even within groups, you have on the Jewish side certain factors saying that they're better than others. Muslims, some are better at fulfilling the words of the Quran than others. And Christians, some thinking that we understand the word better than others, or we practice the word better than others. There's always conflict. And that is not what Christ wanted to have happen. We are still competing so much amongst ourselves. Competing over who Jesus is, what He did, what His death and resurrection mean for humanity. And if we are competing, it means that we don't really grasp the significance of what Jesus did. Spending too much time infighting as opposed to loving others. Imagine what the world would be truly like if Jesus had done all this and you believed all this the way that He wanted us to believe it. Think about this. Think about it. I'm going to do a little exercise with you. I want all of us to close our eyes. Or if you're taking notes, head down, do your notes. But think about this. All right, I want you to seriously think about this. I'm going to ask you three questions. I'm going to chat a little bit between the questions. But I do this because, like I say, over the years, I've heard these words, but I have to remind myself, have I really thought about these words? Have I really inculcated them into my being? First question, think about this, close your eyes. What if it's true that Jesus died for all of us? What if it's true that Jesus died for all of us? I mean, how would you look at Him differently from that? I mean, the powerful sacrifice, the beating that He had to take, knowing that He was going to die on the cross for us and that He was still going to be rejected. How would you view yourself differently as a result of this? Your own presence, your own being, the fact that your sins have been erased, the fact that you should have and carry no guilt, how would you view yourself differently? And thirdly, how would you view others differently? Because as we've been saying through this message, Jesus died for them too. Second question, what if it's true that Jesus was raised for all? That just as in Adam, as we read in that scripture, so in Christ all will be made alive. How would that change the way that you view Jesus? Right? That He was raised for all. Would you change the way that you look at yourself, and your sins, and your need for control? Because we should. If He was prepared to do that for us, isn't that the least that we can do? And how would you view other sinners differently? Other sinners, right? Would they still be the other in your world? Or those sinners? Or any other label that you want to apply? Are you that much different than they are since Christ died for all of us and He was risen for all of us? You and them. Third question. What if it's true that Jesus really is Lord of all? And I mean Lord of all. Lord of what we look on the computer, Lord of what we read, Lord of what we watch, Lord of where we go, how we drive, how we behave. Jesus is really, what if he is Lord of all? Would you look at Him differently then? Would you think He's foolish? Or would you have more respect for what He went through physically for you? And how would you view yourself differently? If He is Lord, you can't be. So would that mean more trust on Him on a day-to-day basis? How would you view others differently rather than seeing them, as we've said, others? Would you see them more as sheep without a shepherd? Children who don't know their father? Would this change the way that we treat others if we really accept Jesus as Lord of all? That's a lot to think about. But it should change our lives. It should have an impact on how we behave, how we are, what we strive to be. Now, here is the great part. That's all true. Jesus did die for all of us. Jesus was raised for all of us. And Jesus is Lord of all. Easter changed everything. His resurrection changed everything. No longer Jew or Gentile, chosen or not chosen, male or female, slave or free, Jesus made us one. Do you believe that? I hope you do. I really hope we do. We need to think about what that really means and the impact that it has on our lives. Because it does have an impact. Going forward, we need to ask God's help to see this truth so much more clearly. Right? And then, and this is equally important, we need to ask Him to help in our response. We need to pray for our response as a result of this. we need to be less judgmental, right? If Jesus died for all and was risen for all, who are we to judge? We can have a bit less animosity at times. Instead of looking for times to get upset and angry, relax. God is in control. It's in His hands. We need to have a bit more compassion. There's a lot of people who need our help, need our physical help or our support in some way. We need to have more compassion for those who are in need. We need to have a lot more understanding, because not everyone is as fortunate as we are living here today, now. Less judgment, less animosity, more compassion, and a lot more understanding. Easter changed everything. This is also a good time to ask God to help you follow that new commandment that we heard earlier, to love others as He loves us, right? Luke 24:6, powerful words. He's not here. He is risen. So He's not here, but He is everywhere, right? He's not in the grave anymore. He is everywhere with all of us. So this weekend, specifically tomorrow, churches around the world are going to be celebrating Easter like we are here today. And they're going to focus on this event and try and grab hold of the impact that this event shadowed. And that's good. I think we should do that. It's important that we do that, that we partake of this reminder. As I said, Easter is a reminder, right? But I would also suggest that we should and could do more. There's more that we can do than just remember, right? Let's make Easter more than just a day of celebration. Let's make Easter a day of change, where we start to think differently and act differently and then do differently. Let's make Easter a day of change because He is risen. Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we are so grateful to be here on this day that You have set aside, that we can remember the resurrection. Easter changed everything. So we ask for Your help in our lives so that we can, as we heard in this message, be filled with less judgment, filled with less animosity at things and people, have more compassion, and show more understanding to all those that we can come in contact with. Help us to see these people, all of us, as sheep without a shepherd, to whatever degree, children without fathers. Help us to change the way we live in this world. We are so thankful that Jesus has done this for us, that He died for all, and that He has risen for all. Help us to really grasp what that means for our lives, and then change and go forward closer to You, following in Your footsteps, participating in what You want to do with this world at this time. So we thank You for that. We thank You for the many blessings that You have showered upon us, the food that we will partake of after services. We ask You to bless it, make it holy for us in every way. And we're so grateful. And we pray this now in Christ's mighty and holy name. Amen.